moment. I love that time just to see everybody's story and to hear of everybody's story, where they've come from, how God has blessed them. But this week, as I was preparing for this morning's message and talking about Jesus, you know, I love to talk about Jesus. And so what I want from you guys tonight, and this is going to kind of be a participation thing, think of your favorite verse that describes Jesus. Okay? Think of your favorite verse that describes Jesus. I just want to give you a couple for instances. 2 Corinthians this morning, use this in my message. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Another one, John chapter 14, Jesus spoke of himself, saying, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And I'm just going to open up the floor for just a moment. I do have a message prepared, but I want you to share from the Scripture tonight. Who is Jesus? Absolutely. Anyone else? Any others? Brother Allen? Any others? Ms. Harriet? Amen. Amen.
Psalm 121:1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. No matter what we're going through, we can always look to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Any others? Others? Any others? Amen. Amen. any others? Any others? Any others? Any others? All right. Okay.
It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion, the chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded.
Amen. Definitely Jesus there. Yeah. Any others?
1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to give us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Any others? I don't want to take anybody's opportunity. I tell you, we could sit here all night and exhaust the name of Jesus to our minds. But He is worthy of our praise. And He is worthy to be adorned as Lord, as Savior, as our refuge, as the cornerstone. As so many things Jesus is to us. And I love this morning we talked about God's character and all that He was. But tonight we're gonna talk about Jesus and who He is. And there's a few times in Scripture that Jesus declares to be something. He says, I and the Father are one in John 10. Just some beautiful things happen there. But in the book of John, many of you may already know this, there's 8 times that Jesus declares, I am something. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And we're going to go through those 8 things. Danny Carter is mad at me right now because I had no clue how that was going to work out. So I gave him a whole list of scriptures to get in the computer in case it didn't work out. But guess what? We're not doing any of those. So I love you, brother. Sometimes you step out on faith, but you have that plan B too. And that's how I was. But listen, I appreciate you guys' participation. Like I said, I love that moment just to uplift Christ and who He is. But tonight, let's look at John 10 and see who Jesus declared to be in several different instances. And number one, don't expect me to preach each one of these things in length because there's 8 of them. And that'd be a very long sermon. But starting in John chapter 6 and verse 25. It says, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but the Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And matter of fact, that miraculous event of him walking on the water, he was going over to the other side of the sea. And when he gets there, he's met by a crowd. And they want to see another miracle. These folks had done run around and caught him on the other side. And he said, why do you labor for bread that's never going to fulfill you? He says, you need to believe in me and get something sustainable. You need to get something that'll last. Your fathers ate of this bread from heaven, but they had to go out day in and day out to toil and labor over that bread. But listen, I'm here. I am the new bread sent from heaven. And I can sustain you forevermore. You don't need a sign. I am the bread. Jesus tells them, you want something that will sustain you past tomorrow. You want something that will quench a desire within you, then you need to believe in me. The same principle is with the woman at the well. And Jesus said, you can drink of me and never thirst again. Nothing in this life is sustainable. Even this old world will go up in flames one day. But our faith in Jesus Christ is something that we can put our thumb on, something that we can rely on day to day. It will last. If you will, turn over with me to John 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm so glad I don't have to live in darkness. I can live in the light of Jesus. Jesus was talking to a group of Pharisees here. If you read the context of this, you'll see he just forgave this woman caught in adultery. And he began to speak to that same crowd, I believe. And look what Jesus says in verse 13 through 16. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. He begins to tell, you know, the law, it is also written in your law, that the testimony of two men is true. And I'm here and the Father testifies of me. Go back to the Old Testament. See Isaiah. See these men, these prophets that wrote of me coming. My witness is true. And I can give you understanding of this. That I can give you, You no longer have to live in the darkness and the wondering of who Jesus Christ is. You can live in the light of me, is what Jesus says. Jesus said, I can give you this spiritual understanding. You'll no longer have to trip around in darkness again. But you can know the one true God. Also, in the same chapter there, John 8 and verse 56. Jesus says this. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was I am. Before Abraham was me. I am. And there's so much here that we could unpack, but it speaks of Jesus' authenticity. Jesus was God. He was there from the very beginning. He was there to see the creation of the world. He was there to see Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. He was there to see these men. But He was also telling them that Abraham rejoiced to see me. His witness was so reliable. It was true because he had been there. He had seen it. He saw the Old Testament events when they occurred. And just to prove it, if you go back to chapter 1 in John, verse 1, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, And the Word was made flesh. The same Jesus was there at the beginning of time. And He came and He humbled Himself to and came to this earth to die for our sins. And everything He declared was true. And He had the witnesses to back it up. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are the thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, as I read this, I went back to a scripture there in Psalms. Probably one you're very much familiar with. Psalms 23 and verse 2. It says, He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. How could He make the sheep lie down in the green pasture? He was the door. See, what would happen is he would back these sheep into a corner, and then he would stand in that gap so they couldn't come out. And he would make them lay down in the green pastures. And tonight, if we're wondering if God knows what's best for our life, He absolutely does. He wants us to lay down in the green pastures. He wants to take care of us. He wants to be our protection. He wants to give us peace. And also, He's the only one that can offer salvation. And the only way to get to God is through Him. He is the door. Also, if you keep looking there in John 10, we've already spoke of a shepherd just a little bit, but in John 10 verse 11, He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. I praise God that Jesus Christ laid His life down for me. He knew what was good, and He knew what I could gain in Him laying His life down for me. And so He did it on the cross called Calvary. He gave up His life so that I could come into a relationship with His Father. Man, He is a good shepherd. A hireling will not lay down his life for the sheep, but thanks be to God that the good shepherd will. I praise God that I have a relationship with a good shepherd. And as chapter 10 and verse 29 says, My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus just reveals His power and His glory there and says, Listen here. If you think somebody's going to steal you from the Good Shepherd, you're crazy. Me and the Father, we are one. I have all power. I have it all. And nobody's going to take you out of my hand. Wow, what a shepherd we have. John chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? If you remember the context of this, is Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus had died. And Jesus showed up on the scenes, and these are His words of good news. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. This is a marvelous verse. See, other scriptures in the Bible talk about everlasting life. Even John 3:16 speaks of this. But this verse actually explains it. What does it say? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. See, even though we know that we'll face this physical death, if we live long enough, we're going to face a physical death. But guess what? That's not the end. Because Jesus is the resurrection and He is the life. And He can bring back to life what is dead. You see, that's a part of Jesus conquering death, hell, and the grave, as He can overturn death, hell, and the grave. Isn't that amazing thought to know that even though death may seem like our end result, Jesus is in control. And He can overturn death and bring back to life which once was dead. I'm going to live again. This isn't it, guys. I'm going to live again because I know the resurrection and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, we've already talked about the door, and that speaks of the way. We've already talked about the life, because He is the resurrection and the life. And the one here I want to focus on, because we've already spoke of those, is truth. He is the truth. Jesus is truth. And when we look around us in the world we live in and all the opinions that get thrown up in the air, we know that we can always go back to Him. Because He is truth. We spoke of Him being the cornerstone. We spoke of Him this morning as a plumb line. We can always go back to Him. and know what is truth and what is right to live our lives. I was thinking about Jesus is the truth this afternoon, and it reminded me of a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. And it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." That word guile there means deceit. It means lying. And it hit me as I looked at that verse. Not only is God sitting on His throne, not only is Jesus sitting there beside Him and not lying, but Jesus came to this world. He lived in the world that you and I live in every day, and still was absolute truth. Isn't that awesome? And that's what we cover as we cover the Gospels, as we cover the New Testament. We see the writers of the New Testament revealing Jesus as absolute truth. And it gives us the opportunity as Christians to go back to His Word and to see how I'm to live this life. Because I know Jesus is truth. And I know that there's no lies found in Him. Lastly, John 15. Miss V was trying to preach my sermon before I got started here. John 15 and verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Jesus is life, and apart from Him, there is no life. Without being connected to Him, we can't bear fruit. And I want to tell you, Christians here tonight, this is life after salvation. This is as we move on into our life, we can't bear fruit without being connected to Him. You see, people in of different religions said, "You Baptists, you think that you can go out and live the way you want to live after salvation and still be saved." Absolutely. Jesus said that no man can pluck you out of His hand. Not even yourself. But I want to tell you this. If we would abide in Christ, we wouldn't want to do the things that the world's doing. We wouldn't want to live just any way that we want to live. I love what 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says along this same subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. As I read that, I think about entering into heaven's gates smelling like smoke. I just barely made it because I knew Jesus. How sad that will be. I mean, yes, you'll be in heaven, you'll get to be with the King, but listen. You won't have anything to show for it. You see, and I've used this illustration several times before, but when I walk into heaven and I lay my crowns down at His feet, I don't want one measly old crown to throw. I want all I can give to Him. I want to lay a bundle down at His feet. Do you know Jesus? Man, He's worth knowing. And if you're here tonight, and as we prepare for a hymn of invitation, you don't know Him. Surely to goodness, by us exalting Him here tonight, He's somebody you'd like to meet. Know Him tonight. He is the resurrection and the life. And listen, man lives one time and he dies. But with Jesus Christ, there's life after death. If you're here tonight and don't know Him, tonight's the night as we sing.
Tomorrow night at 7, was that right, for Jimmy's meeting? 7 o'clock tomorrow night for the building committees here at the church. And Tuesday night's choir practice at 6:30.
In the auditorium.
in the auditorium for the cantata practice. And then Wednesday night is the church service and plus the Awana. No, not Awana's yet, is it? Yes? Okay, Awana's. Anything else? Okay, out here on the table. All right.
Remember the chili cook-off sheet. If you're tame and you want to bring some chili for the chili cook-off next Sunday night, please sign up on that list. Also, there's a crossover basketball shirt. If you're just a church member, would like a shirt that has crossover on it, if you want to come up here, work, participate, either one in crossover, that sign-up sheet's in the vestibule. I think that's all I've got.
Okay.
Friday
for bell ringers. And I think it said in the bulletin also they might need some help on Saturday too. Right. Okay. I forgot to bring the bulletin up here. Anything else? If not, Brother Mike, you dismissed us.
Heavenly Father, thank you.